Hey, my name is Ryan McVitie, and I am the pastor of the River Worship. Thank you so much for joining us on our podcast. If you haven't heard about the River yet, it's an amazing move of God happening in the greater Toronto area. Yes, Toronto, Canada. It's a cold place, but we have warm hearts, and we love coming together every Tuesday night and worshiping the Lord with all we've got. We also get to dive into the Word, and that's where we're going to go right now. We're going to dive into the Word of God, and I trust and pray that it will impact you in a powerful way. If you're ever in the Toronto area, come visit us. We would love for you to worship with us together. But enjoy the message, and God bless you.
20 minutes of advice from Ryan McVitie is worth a dollar on its best day, but just one verse from the Word of God can change your story forever. The Word of God never returns void, so we're going to jump in tonight. If you have your Bible, open it up, boot it up, turn it on. Don't let anybody judge you for having a digital Bible, you know? Yeah, thank you, right? You know, what you say in response to them, you say, you take your Bible with you everywhere you go, because I do. Got it with me all the time, in the washroom, in the morning, in the night, wherever I go. Open it up, Matthew chapter 4. We're going to jump into verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. I don't know if maybe you relate to this. Maybe you feel like you're in a wilderness season and there's temptation around every corner and you don't know how to deal with it and you keep falling to it and succumbing to it and you say, what do I do, Lord? What do I do? This is what you do. Verse 2, Christ, after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, was hungry. If I fast for 4 hours, I'm hangry. This is 40 days and 40 nights, and the tempter came to him at his low point and said, if you are the Son of God, if you are who you say you are, tell these stones to become bread. And then watch what the original gangster Jesus Christ said in response. Verse 4, Jesus answered the same way he answered, by the way, every single time he was tempted. He said, it is written. And then you know what he did? He quoted the Word of God. He quoted Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. He said, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. You take that, devil, when you come for me. Even after 40 days of starvation, Christ is saying, still the most important thing that there is, more important than physical nourishment, more important than anything that this world can offer, is the Word of God. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every single word spoken by God. So we're going to talk about this book just for a few minutes. This book right here is 783,000 words. 783,000 words of your Father, the Creator, the one who made you. I want to tell you, this book will change your life. It is not boring. People say, hey, the Bible's boring. I can't read that. Have you read the story of David, bro? Have you watched the Netflix movie? I mean, this is not boring stuff. The Bible is incredibly exciting. It's impactful. It's not dead. It's alive. It breathes life into you exactly when you need it. Where are my Bible lovers in the place? Make some noise one more time. Yeah. So help me if you're excited. Help me with the title of this message. Look to your neighbor, your first overall pick, your number one draft pick, okay? Make your choice right now. I'm watching you. You got them? Married people, be smart. Dating people, be smart. Who's your first pick? Lock eyes with them right now and say this. Say, I've got the instructions. That was pathetic. Say, I've got the instructions. There we go. We got some preachers in the house. I've got the instructions. Man, the other day, I did something that I would caution you against doing. I went to IKEA. You know where this is going. And my wife and I needed a dresser, you know, for your bedroom, big wardrobe, you put the clothes in, shelves, a dresser. And we found this dresser, and it was big, it was huge, and it was beautiful in the showroom. Loved it. Loved how it looked, loved the size of it, loved the price. It was a great price. Now, they didn't have it in stock, so I had to order it online. But I'm like, that's okay. You know, I roll with Amazon every day. Online is fine. No problem. Ordered it. Waited. Got the email. You know how you do. You get the tracking about something that you're excited about. And I'm checking the tracking every single day. And I'm seeing where it is. And I finally see the delivery window, when it's going to come. And I get out of my house and I get all excited. I see the big IKEA delivery truck. I mean, a huge truck back up into my house. I'm like, yeah, I can't wait to see this dresser. See the back door open up. The not very big dude, the kind of smaller than I expected dude, comes out and he's got no cart. He's got no dolly. And I'm thinking, how is this dude going to give me my dresser? I guess I'm going to get up in that thing and help him to bring it out. That's fine. I can do that. No problem. He goes back in. He comes back out a minute later. And he's got this tiny little box in his hands. And he walks up to me with this box and says, here you go, sir. And I go, oh, no, bro. I don't think you understand. I ordered a dresser. I don't know what that is, but I ordered a dresser. That's not a dresser. Where's my dresser at? This is not a dresser. You know what he did? He looked at me. He said, oh, it will be. You'll see. And then he laughed, slammed that door, and zipped out of there so quick I never saw him again. And I was like, what does he mean, it will be? Guys, I did not know what I signed up for. You heard of a Swedish massage? This is Swedish torture. For about 19 hours, I try to assemble this thing. And I'm putting piece number one with piece number 77, and I'm a man slash idiot, so you know I don't read the instructions. Come on, men, we don't do instructions. Men, make some manly noises. Where you at? We don't do instructions until it falls apart for the third time. And finally, I open up the instructions, which, by the way, are terrible. It's these little stick figures. There's no English anywhere. There's no language. It's like this little stick figure puts it here and puts it here. There's 88 steps. Torture. Finally, though, I read the instructions, and I'm able to assemble this dresser. And you know what? It looked just like the showroom. I couldn't believe it. I also figured out why that delivery guy was laughing at me, because he knew what I was in for. Why am I telling you this story about IKEA? I'm telling you this story because if you're anything like me, I cry out to God all the time. God, give me this. God, I need this. God, I need that. And it's not a bad thing to make requests of your Father. Everything, make known to him through prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. It's okay to ask him for things. But here's where we run into the problem, Christians, if you're anything like me. When I ask him for the dresser, I want white glove delivery, baby. I want to just open up my door and two dudes walk into my house and ask me which room to put it in, and they put it down in the room, and that's all I have to do. My friends, that is not how God works. That's how a genie in the bottle works. Your Father is not a genie in the bottle. He's a Father who loves you. He provides for you. But here's the thing I learned from IKEA, and this is what I want to tell you tonight. Assembly is required. Look to your second choice neighbor, the one you ignored so, so rudely just moments ago. This is so awkward. I love it. And say, assembly is required. Now, back to my IKEA trauma, my IKEA trials and tribulations, of which I'm recovering for. I put this thing together, and at every juncture, you know what I would do? I would say, man, IKEA, rip me off. The pieces I need aren't here. There's no way the pieces I need are here. They're not here. And every time, I would say, man, they cheated me. They didn't give me what I want. They didn't give me what I ordered. Until finally, I gave up my pride, and I read those instructions. And I realized actually every single piece is there because they have excellent quality control. And you can never get a refund at IKEA, ever. What I want to tell you today, IKEA is the creator of that dresser. And IKEA gives you instructions on how to put it together. God is the creator of your life, and he gave you instructions on how to put it together. But assembly is required. It's not always easy. You think a dresser's hard? You try marriage. You try dating in 2025. Come on, there's dating apps and there's serial killers. It's a bad combo. You end up like a Netflix documentary if you're not careful. Then you try to date in church and this bro's like, Holy Spirit told me you're gonna be my wife. It's hard out there, man. But God gave you the instructions that you need. This is it, the Bible. My wife, Lindsay, and I, we've been married 10 years. Give it up for this beautiful girl. If you're a cessationist and you believe that miracles no longer happen, take a look at her, take a look at me. It's evidence miracles still happen today. How I got a girl like that, whoo, she's beautiful. We get to do premarital counseling for our church. We've done it for 8 years. We've counseled dozens, maybe hundreds of couples. And I finally learned the best premarital counseling tactic. I order them the most complicated item from IKEA. And I say, put it together. And then I sit back and watch. Man, you know how rough it gets. They start ripping each other's heads off. There is nothing more stressful than trying to assemble something together. It's almost as bad as hanging wallpaper. There's nothing more difficult. But you know what? When they're done, and every single time they start without the instructions and they end up using the instructions, when they're done and they assemble that thing, I know they are ready for marriage. They can withstand the wiles of the enemy. They can withstand bills, stress, kids, because if they can do that together, they can make it through anything together. And here's the lesson. They learn the value of the instructions. Christians, brothers, sisters, I think we forget in our own pursuit of wisdom, the value of the instructions that God has given us. It's why Christ said in Matthew 4, verse 4, it's why he said, it's written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. What is that? What's that? That's this. Every word that comes from the mouth of God, that's this. 783,000 of them. Right here. I get people asking me all the time, Pastor, how come I don't hear God speaking to me? You know what I want to say, but I don't say, but I really want to say? I say, bro, have you opened up your Bible? You want to hear God speak? Just open it up, dude. It's right there. They say, oh, no, you don't understand. I want to hear God speak out loud. I'm like, read it out loud. You'll hear right away. It's pretty easy. The word of God is right here. It's all here. There was an old t-shirt when I was a kid. I don't know if you saw it. I'm 35. I'm like an old man in this crowd. There's a t-shirt, and it used to say this. It was a powerful line. It's cheesy, but it's powerful. It's going to come up on the screen. When all else fails, read the instructions. When all else fails, read the instructions. It stuck with me ever since I was a kid. This book is the manual for how to live your life. If you don't have it, my friends, you don't have a chance at a life with peace, joy, contentment, and fulfillment, all the things that your Father wants for you. It's why Psalm 119, verse 105 says this, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You know what that means? That the word of God is a lamp onto your feet and a light onto your path. Just like those stinking IKEA directions, this is step by step. You take one step, the light shows you a little more. It's a lamp onto your feet. This thing right here has everything you need in it. And Jesus Christ, of course, he's our ultimate model. It blows my mind to think that the word in the flesh, which is Christ Jesus, would have quoted the word. He didn't need to quote it. He was it. He knew it. But every single time the devil came knocking on his door, turn that into bread if you're God. Jump over this cliff. Surely your angels will catch you. Whatever the temptation was, he had the same response. He said, it is written. He said, devil, go read the manual. You can't have me. You can't have me. You're not the end of my story. No way. And what I want to tell you tonight, yeah, you can clap. Pentecostal people all the way in the back, I see you. You can clap. Somebody brought a tambourine. Pick that thing up. Let me see that tambourine. Where you at? There we go. That's how I grew up in church. Security, she's right there. Get her out of here. I'm just kidding. Don't. They're new here. Don't. The word in the flesh quoted the word. What I want to tell you, if this was a good enough instruction manual for Jesus Christ, is good enough for you, is good enough for me. It's the way to get through this life. And I'll tell you, in my short 35 years, I have learned that it is not optional for me, that I need it. If there are seasons where I put it on the back burner, it's amazing how quick I whirlwind out of control. I need this book. And what I've learned is I can't just schedule it from 7:30 to 8 a.m. in my day. I can't just schedule it for 30 minutes of my day. You know why? Because what we have, Christians, is not just religion, it's relationship. Imagine if my wife, if I said, babe, sorry, we can only talk between 7:30 to 8 a.m. every day. You get 30 minutes and that's it, nothing else. She just went like this. She said, I'm dead. It's very gory, graphic gesture. Don't put it on YouTube. She says, no way. No way, because that's not relationship. You know what relationship is? Hey, good morning. How's your day? Hey, here's what I did next. Here's what I do next. Here's what I do. Hey, good night. It's constant communication. That's what relationship is. What I've learned, my friends, is no, I can't just have him 30 minutes in the morning. I need him when I'm grumpy, when I wake up. I need him when I'm anxious and I lay my head to rest. I need him when I'm waiting in the long line at Service Ontario about to say words that Christians should never say. I'm just personally venting right now. I need him when I'm waiting. I need him in the mundane. I need him in the low place, in the valley, and I need him in the high place on the mountaintops of my life. I need this thing with me everywhere I go. Because I can't assemble the dresser without the instructions. And I can't walk this life without the Creator's manual of how to live it. So if you haven't cracked this thing open, if you think this thing is just a history book, I want to implore you today to think a little different. Because this book will speak to you. And it will change your life. But you can't segment it just for 20 minutes here or there. Putting God in a box like that never works. It's why 1 Thessalonians 5 tells you to pray without ceasing. What does that mean? God's not saying you have to spend 24 hours a day, 365 days a year in prayer. He's saying pray all the time. Walk with God. When you go to work in the morning, bring him there with you. When you check out the clock and you go home, bring him there with you. Wherever you're going, visit the daily bread. Matthew 5, give us this day our daily bread. You need this. This is the last thing. I'm almost done. I heard it explained once this way, and it impacted me. Because I have a father, a good father, whom I love dearly. I mean a physical father on this earth. I'm a little vexed at him right now because he's in Florida on the beach and I'm here working. Other than that, he's an amazing father. And I love him. And someone once said this about the Word of God. They said, imagine this. If your father, heaven forbid, was no longer with you. And I want to be sensitive because I know that's the story of a lot of you in this room. If your father was leaving this physical earth so you couldn't text him anymore and him just show up. If he wasn't going to be with you every day to walk of this physical earth. But if he wrote you a book of notes that you could open up for every single phase of your life. Son, when you're a teenager, you're going to need this. Son, when you're in college, you're going to need this. Son, when you're dumped, you're going to need this. Son, when you're dating, you're going to need this. Son, when you're an old man, you're going to need this. If that father whom you love so dearly wrote you a book of notes personally just to you, how much would you cherish it? For those of you that have lost a loved one, what would you pay to get a book of notes just for you from the one whom you love? Your heavenly Father walked this earth, and then he left, and brought his Holy Spirit Comforter to be with you, but he wrote you a book of notes. How differently would you read this if that was the lens through which you perceived it? That this isn't just an impersonal history book about wars and sagas and stories, but this is a love note from my Father who cares for me. That's what this is. Yet you know what Ryan McVitie does? He reduces it to a chore. I'll do my laundry for an hour and I'll read the Bible for an hour. This should never be a chore. This should be cherished. This is a gift of incomparable value. So I came to remind you tonight of the worth of this. And I want to tell you, it's not just about quantity when it comes to the Word of God. I have met some people that allegedly read this thing 4 hours a day and are nasty, miserable people that display none of the fruits of the Spirit. Can I get an amen? You're scared. You're like, can I say that in church? It's the river. You can say it. But it's not about quantity. It's about quality. Reading this is not a prison sentence where the more time you spend in it, the more repentant or forgiven you are. This is a beautiful thing to be cherished. It's notes from your Father for you specifically. So I want to encourage you tonight. When 1 Thessalonians 5 says pray without ceasing, what does it mean? It means bring God into every room you enter into. Because after you've accepted Jesus Christ, the reality is he's there. Where can you flee from his presence? He is with you always. The question is this. Will you talk to him? Will you make him welcome in that room you're in? Will you hear him? Because with the Creator's instructions, you can make it through anything in this life. Come on, give the Lord some praise. Worship team, get back up here, please. River, you can stand to your feet. Jonathan, play those keys. Make me sound more spiritual. Please. I hope you hear my heart. I didn't come up here to make you feel bad about not reading your Bible. I went years in my life without even opening this thing. I'm ashamed to say that. I'm a ministry kid. I'm a fifth generation PK. But I went years without even opening this thing. And I want to tell you, though, don't live your life trying to assemble something so complicated on your own. This life is hard. There are storms coming your way. There is suffering coming your way. There is hardship coming your way. And there's only one thing that will get you through it. This manual will get you through scenarios where there is no plausible human way to get through. You don't do this life alone anymore. You're a Christian. It doesn't work when you do it alone. But if you have the Word of God, there is no valley that you cannot pass through. There is no sea that will not split before you in due time. So I want to tell you a little story as we go back into worship. I want to tell you about one of my favorite hymns. You know, we sing new stuff, original songs, Goodbye Yesterday, all these great songs, but there's something about the old hymns. Anybody here like the old hymns? There's one called It Is Well. You know that one? For those that don't know it, Dante, help me out. Just sing them verse one and the refrain of that song. Don't go crazy. Just be chill.
One peace like a river attended my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, and whatever
hang out there for a moment. This is such a powerful hymn. But I don't know if you know the story of this hymn. And I want to share it with you. It'll take just a couple moments. See, the author of this hymn, his name was Horatio Spafford. He wrote this hymn in 1871. And I want to tell you a little bit about him, because that line that Dante just sung, he said, "Whatever my lot, whatever happens to me, whatever I'm dealt, thou hast taught me to say, thou hast taught me to know, it is well with my soul." Well, I want to tell you what his lot was. Because some of you have a testimony, man. Here's his lot. He was a wealthy attorney in Chicago. 1871, he was a real estate investor. He owned properties in Chicago. He did music and ministry on the side with the great D.L. Moody, an evangelist in Chicago. Everything was great until 1871, the Chicago fire comes and it wipes out all his buildings. There's no insurance back then. All his assets are now diminished. The next month, his only son, 4 years of age, gets scarlet fever and dies. His only son. He has a wife and four other daughters. He puts them on a boat and sends them to England because he's about to go minister with D.L. Moody in England, and he sends them to go ahead and to prepare a way while he deals with the wake of the devastation of the fire, where he lost everything, to bury his baby boy, his four-year-old son. But he sends them ahead, and just days later, he gets a telegram. And the telegram says this, in only three words: "Survived, but alone." The ship that he put his wife and his girls on crashed into another ship in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. And he lost all four of his remaining children, all four of his daughters. He had five kids, and now they're all gone. Survived, but alone. And with a heart ripped open, he gets on a boat to go be with his wife and comfort her. And while he's asleep on the journey, the captain comes down and wakes him up and says, "Horatio, this is the place where your daughters lay rest. This is where the ships crashed." And the story goes like this. He wakes up and he reads the Word of God. I imagine he gets down on his knees and he reads Psalm 23. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And then here it is, verse 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," for him, "yea, though I sail through the shadow of the death of my daughters at the bottom of this ocean, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And he gets up, and he's at the spot where he lost his girls. And with a bold faith, he grabs a pen, and he pens these words. He says, "When peace like a river attendeth my soul." He says, in the midst of his lowest, most difficult moment, when you would expect him to be angry and furious at the cards he's been dealt, he says, "When peace like a river attendeth my soul, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, whatever comes at me, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. Father God, we thank you for this fact tonight, Lord, that no matter what may come, no matter what trial lays ahead of us, no matter how many enemies surround us, if we have you in our corner, we're gonna make it. If the odds are 99,000 to one, but that one is you, God, we're gonna make it. God, we thank you that you're a good father. And we thank you that you made us and you didn't leave us. You left us your word for us to live by every single day. You gave us an instruction manual for this life. God, I pray that tonight there may be a new zeal, a new passion, a new desire to walk with you, to read your word, to spend time in prayer with you, God. Because, Lord, if we're being honest, we've been trying on our own for a long time. And look where it's got us. God, we don't just want you tonight. We need you. We're desperate for you. You're the only one that can do it. So God, we thank you. And we say, whatever our lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well. Amen.